You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
deeper.
Who you gonna turn to next? Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Apologize. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today in this Wednesday, hump day Wednesday, getting over the hump. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and you know it has to be done, you're going to get it done. That's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we admire you and love you and respect you and revere you and any other adjectives I could use. You know, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Click on, when you're at the top of the page, when you see timeforawakening.com, you see podcasts, click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Quay Coop. Appreciate him. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, the largest online marketplace of products that we produce and we are selling to you and that you should participate and buy. That's how it should go. WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, I'm once again reminding you of, please go on the website at WeBuyBlack.com, trying to pull monies together to open a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, dealing with products that we produce, dealing with our farmers, getting their produce into our stores. And this would be replicated across the country
in major cities where we are, as it should be. You know? Man, I can't say it enough. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bobani Tahemba, he has taken our people across the across the pond to the continent many times. And just got back a couple weeks ago on the 5th, the day of the election, from Ghana, West Africa. His next trip is to Senegal, Gambia, the 12th, April 2nd through the 12th. And then back to Ghana again in May 24th to June 4th. And then to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th in Tanzania. And like I said, I want to be on that particular trip. So, Africa for the Africans, give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, and the latest tour in Ghana is up there, the Tanzania and the other previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, they're up. They're there. So you can see for yourself. But believe me, though, you can see, but there's nothing like experience it, you know, firsthand, in the feeling, in the moment, in the environment, on the continent. But you can go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Renoko will be my guest next week, Friday. He will be my guest next week, Friday. His trip is being postponed. That's why it's not up on his website. Excuse me, brothers and sisters. His trip last year, around the same time, if you go, just go to the website, you know, drrenoko.com. It was to Senegal and Gambia and Guinea-Bissau. He has beautiful pictures. It's worth it. It's worth going online just to check the pictures out, just to see what the tour was like. His trip to Kemet, I'm not sure if that's still going to still be available. You know, said he don't know, man. He's been a world traveler. He's been somebody who has done primary research. In fact, you know, I'm going to read Inye Sasim, of course, and one of the presenters is Professor Manu Pim, another primary researcher. And the other person is my dear friend, who's an ancestor, Brother Taki S. Ratan. Brother Taki Ratan. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the announcements. Okay. Habesha stands for helping Africans by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha works. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org because, once again, the brothers and sisters at HabeshaIncorporated.org are doing the work, and they deserve to be supported. The Kashi Project, of course, their mission is, it is a pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They deserve to be supported and invest in the Kashi Project that is going on right now in Ghana. Ledge Group, theledgegroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com. Ledge stands for the land for the environmental development of group economics. And they have many projects on the continent. They deal with the four elements of survival for our people: food, water, shelter, and clothing. They deal with that. They have 12 projects. They got in 6 countries. Over 170 employed and over 260 members. Be a member. Be a part of the Ledge Group, theledgegroup.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine is still open on Fridays and Saturdays. Just for, you know, business purposes. You can buy books and you can get the red, black, and green shoes. There's furniture, clothing, everything you can get right there at the Shrine, jewelry. The Shrine of Black Madonna here, open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Right there on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Like I said, Wadada's right up the street from there. Okay. And then there's the Medu Bookstore. Mama Nia, she texted me the other day. She thanked me for stopping in and trying to give some help. Although she didn't need my help, and I was cool. But she is going to be on the main thoroughfare there at the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. And, of course, give her a call. Number will be the same at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Brook Bookstore in Lithonia. This is east of here, Atlanta, in the suburbs, in Lithonia. And the proprietor is my good brother and friend, Gazinde Ajamu. And he has a coffee bar up in there now, serving Cameroon Boyo, that delicious coffee. So give brother Gazinde a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Gabriel Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti in the hills, and she deserves to be supported. That is Sanjay Dash Haiti. SONJE-HAITI.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. Are educating our warriors, and you know we need that, so they deserve to be supported. So please make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, now you can use Cash App and PayPal if you want to use Cash App. The dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And, of course, you want to buy books. Baba Baruti's a prolific writer. And AkabinHouse.com. Go to AkabinHouse.com. Pick up the volume 2 of the Enye Sesem. That's right. I almost forgot about Us Lifting Us. That's right. Tomorrow, Us Lifting Us. The Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10. Us Lifting Us on blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. And, of course, you can call in and to listen. Or call in to give you a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Yes, yes, yes. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 12th, it's my brother's birthday. I called him up, wished him a happy birthday. He's doing well. I'm glad to hear that, glad to see that. January 12th. It is impossible for the Afrocentric community to begin practicing Maadian ethics when there are so many movement individuals involved in corruption. Much of their behavior is no different than that of the average unprincipled street person. This behavior by many movement individuals must be challenged because each of us and the movement itself is affected by this activity. The individual person and his or her actions are not separate and cut off from the collective. The collective and the individual exist in a reciprocal duality where one always eventually affects the other. Professor Manu Apim. Like I said, Brother Manu Apim is a primary researcher, much like Brother Rinoco. They go there. They take pictures. They do the work. They deserve to be supported. Baba Baruti says, there can be a major difference between proclaiming that everything in the universe is connected and acting accordingly. We are so used to believing that saying it is the same thing as being it, whether we are being it or not, that we forget that others, especially those looking for any excuse to exploit a contradiction among those who are supposed to be setting the standard in order to rationalize their own menticidal ways, and neither blind nor stupid. The aphorisms that one lie destroys all previous truth is not without weight. For example, we cannot talk about honoring our compliments and building family at the same time that we're on the prowl to satisfy those individualistic, heathenistic, pleasure-driven, anti-family appetites that we refuse to relinquish. These two mentalities are incompatible. Certainly, no one is perfect. However, there should be evidence of work toward improvement among those who aspire to be African. Ashe. Affirm, I practice Maadian ethics. January 13th. Just what is our purpose on this planet? Just what is our purpose on this planet if all we are to do is become an extension, a clone, a reflection, a helper of another man? My good brother and ancestor, Brother Taki S. Ratan. Just very quickly, I remember coming into town when I had just moved here. I've been here 6 years now, and I think about the second year, maybe going on to the third, whatever. And I just got in town, and a sister called me and said, "Hey, Brother Oshie, have you heard what happened? Heard about Taki?" And I said, "No, I just got in town. Now, what's up with Taki?" And then she couldn't give me any details, and I called Taki's number, because a lot of times if you say something about somebody, and I'm going to try, if I got their number, I'm going to the source. I called him up, and his son answered, and he had passed away from a heart attack. Man. Taki S. Ratan, a good brother, a very good brother. He would truly be missed for your ancestors. African warriors in Yoruba's reality should expect their menticidal own to try them, to try to disrespect them, clone them, and clown them, and make fun of them, to bring meanness to their space for no reason other than the fact that they absolutely love. Our ancestors have no love for Yoruba whatsoever. It is only natural for the wretched of Yoruba's reality to use their genius imitatively in an effort to be recognized and prized as bullies in service to Yoruba. We should know the degree to which righteous, indefatigable warriors have always frightened Yoruba. We should be even more aware of the exaggerated self-hating forms this reactive fear this reactive fear takes against those who love African people by blindly ambitious among us who are desperately seeking an impossible validation by our most dedicated enemies. Because it flows downward from oppressive destroyers to those who identify with them, this behavior is called trickle-down disrespect. It is a ploy of the powerless to reflect Yoruba's hatred against all of them unto only those among us who Yoruba holds the greatest hatred for. Nonetheless, although warriors should never tolerate disrespect in any form from anyone, they should neither be surprised nor daunted by the words or actions of their menticidal own against them. They know not what they do because, obviously, they are out of their African minds. Shay. Affirm, I have removed my mental, physical, and spiritual and emotional shackles and have no expectations of respect from those who mean me no good. I say. Affirm, I remove my mental, physical, spiritual. I apologize. Mental shackles and have no expectations of respect from those who mean me no good. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sesim. Today, I'm going to go into the Abakasan Sumsum. Didn't get a chance to read it They had Baka Sensum Sum, which is African spiritual warfare. And they had it back in November. I wanted to attend, but because of my health and other issues, I didn't attend. But they had a good attendance. And I seen pictures, and it was beautiful. You know, Mama Marimba, it's just beautiful. You know, Baba Kraiku and many others did an outstanding job. So I'm going to read some of the articles from Abaka Sensum Sum. And I'm going to read the part of what is Abaka Sensum Sum, so those who are listening will know exactly what Abaka Sensum Sum is, African spiritual warfare. So I'm going to read that. But before I go off into that, one article came to me, I felt that, I wanted to present this. It's a very good article from a brother. excuse me. Where was that at? Yep. It's Dr. Black, and he's here in the Atlanta area, and it's coming from the opinion section of CNN News, but the Capitol attack was white supremacy, plain and simple. The opinion of Dr. Daniel Black. I read some things. I read, of course, Brother Akinyele, a piece that he did for Your Black World. You know, because what I tried to do in the explaining this whole thing that happened at the Capitol from our perspective, you know, not whining and crying about, oh, this is so terrible. Our government is under attack by its own people. You know, none of that bull. I try to help us understand and put this into a perspective that is ours, and understanding the European and not just the, you know, the false equivalent of, see, if they were black, they'd be dead. They'd be shot. Because we know that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, of course, every person in the article that I've read, and they talk about that, of course, as well. But I'm just going to, give us the article here so I can get off into the Baka Sensum Sum and the Your Black World newspaper and talk about Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Pro-Trump mob breaks into U.S. Capitol. Dr. Daniel Black is a professor of African studies at Clark Atlanta University and author of the novel The Coming and the forthcoming Don't Cry for Me. The views expressed in this commentary are his own. How in the world do scores of seditious rioters simply waltz into the United States Capitol so casually that many of them record their invasion on their cell phones and take selfies with cops? How do they scale the walls and push through the doors and scatter the police and do not get forcibly stopped by whatever means necessary? How does anyone breach the House Speaker's office and relax in her chair as if it was his own place? Two words. But of course, you know, I got four words, which is, was it five? That's five, yeah. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. The reason why I don't use white supremacy, because number one, they ain't white, and they sure no hell ain't supreme. So, through Brother Paul from across the pond in the UK, you know, he told me, nah, he said, same thing, they're not supreme, but they are extreme. And so my thing was the European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. The racism is because they created racism. There's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. There's cultures. And what Europeans have done is imposed their culture on the world and all the modalities within their culture, the religion, the financial situation, the government, all of that. Cultures. And, of course, privilege. And what you've seen this past Wednesday, last week Wednesday, was privilege. was privilege. What happened on Wednesday was simple. Donald Trump told Caucasian people that America had been stolen from them, and he summoned them to Washington to take it back. He was their commander in chief. He gave them their marching orders, and all they had to do was obey. They saw insurrection as their duty, but they also has their right. If these overwhelmingly Caucasian invaders had instead been us, the news headline would have read "Massacre in the nation's capital." There is no damn way throngs of American African people could have similarly smashed their way into the citadel of world power without losing their lives en masse. Only with Caucasian privilege does such reprehensible behavior not meet deadly reprisals. The mob was later labeled criminals, but when they were rampaging, they were not treated as criminals. In fact, while listening to the news coverage, I had paused when pundits say that the pride of America was how protesters, in this case, she was talking about the rioters at the Capitol, were protected by the Constitution and thus not attacked by police in the streets. My mouth fell agape. She should have said that in America, Caucasians enjoy the privilege of acting out as they please without fear of being brutalized by the police, because we know what could happen to us. In a video taken inside the Capitol during the invasion, American African security guard is confronted and chased by angry Trump supporters. He orders them to stop. They rush at him, seemingly with the aim of overcoming him. He screams into his shoulder microphone, "I need backup. I need backup. Please send backup," as he races up the stairs, pursued by the crowd of audacious and their audacious whiteness, their audacious Caucasianness. The incident reminded me of the scenes from W.D. Griffin's, oh man, W.D. Griffin's racist 1915 film, The Birth of a Nation. And of course, the brother just, Nat Turner, Brother Parker, had Birth of a Nation a few years ago. Thought the movie was outstanding. The birth of it, which a Caucasian man chased American Africans who ran frantically for their lives. It's a caricature of race relations in a country that has never been honest about its history. This country has never been honest. And of course, and ironically, you see all these brothers cleaning up the White House, sweeping and mopping and the glass and so forth. Yeah. The Capitol attack, President-elect Joe Biden said, "America is better than this." But herein lies the problem. America is not better than this. America is that, or is this. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, is unwillingly to surrender its reign. It declared itself alive and well at the Capitol, and for the most part that day, the authorities left it alone. 4 days later, authorities are identifying members of the mob, making arrests, and seemingly hunting down violators who overran and unabashedly and ashamedly damaged the Capitol. Many had dressed in attire so capricious that they seemed to want to be discovered. Let's not know. Some of them had costumes on. Of course, they had, army fatigues and flak jackets and so forth. This, too, is America, self-righteous Caucasian supremacy. Caucasian extremism has never felt the need to hide. Consider our history of lynching. These hangings of African bodies were never one person acts. Every now and then it might have been a one person act or a couple of people. But basically, the hanging of us was spectacle. It was something, it was almost just like I don't believe that the word picnic is from that. It hasn't been proven, but it's just like pick a nigga and bring a basket. Because at some of these hangings, there were literally hundreds, if not thousands. and brothers and sisters and even children. A lot of them were dismembered, their skin peeled off, their testicles cut off, souvenirs, pictures, picture postcards. These hangings of African bodies were never one-person acts. Indeed, lynchings were public events where entire communities of Caucasians gathered, including children, to watch and cheer as African life was decimated. Lynchings was an American ritual, something in American tradition, which the government at the time did not decry, for which few were ever punished. So no, America is not better than this. In fact, peaceful American African protesters in the 1960s were battered by fire hose and attacked by dogs. American African elders were shoved and beaten like animals on live TV. No, we can't say America is better than what happened on Wednesday. No, not unless we are willing to lie about the history, to turn a blind eye to the injustices suffered by the Scottsboro Boys or the Central Park Five or George Floyd or Breonna Taylor. If we tell the truth, we will admit that Trump supporters' behavior is in the tradition. If you know it, it is in the tradition. Of white supremacy, of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy in America, which is willing to destroy anyone and anything to retain its power. Imagine again if that mob had been us. They would not have gone safely home. Trump said, just go home. We love you. Go on home. After what they did, you can just walk up in the and just tear this stuff up and then just go home. They would have been arrested and beaten senseless or killed. I watched in total belief as Trump asked his riotous followers to calm down and then told him to go home. Go home. Who gets to break into the Capitol and go home? Aren't you at least taken downtown for questioning? American, African, and people, and many conscious Caucasians watch the unfolding Capitol invasion with speechless awe, wondering who in the world gets the assault, the American government, without being destroyed. Well, we know now. That's right. Caucasians. This attempt at a coup was precipitated because since November, Trump has convinced himself and his followers that the election was rigged and stolen from him. The allegation is preposterous and borderline insane, but his strategy, composing lies to avoid difficult truth, is not a Trump creation. It is an American tradition. In antebellum days, many of our captive brothers and sisters told themselves and others that their captives were happy and content. That was picturesque. That was on postcards, later in movies, that we were happy and content in our servitude to Caucasians. Everyone knows that Caucasian settlers murdered Native people and took their land, but that's too much truth to swallow. But that's too much truth to swallow. Everyone knows. Too much ugliness to admit. We are simply transmute this truth into the Thanksgiving holiday and perpetuated myth of early colonial harmony. Another rejected truth is the caste system in America, which has locked American Africans and other people of color into a prison of poverty from which many never escape. Americans like to say that any child willing to work hard can prosper. This isn't true, and we know it. But we want to believe it, so we say it. Public school systems have for decades labeled our children inferior and troubled and disadvantaged and underrepresented in ways that determine their scholastic achievement. Few want to admit that often the real problem is the assumptions made about Africanness and its inability to succeed. America maintains its glory by lying about the history and its shortcomings. Trump knew this game. If we blame him alone for this madness, we ignore the inner workings of racism, white supremacy, and we fear that accompanies any challenge to white supremacy. And that's what Wednesday was really all about. Who are the true Americans? Those who stormed the Capitol believe they are. And from the way they were handled, it seems that many, but not all, police authorities agree. In fact, the scarcity of law enforcement at all from the beginning of the mutiny suggests, too, a few in authority feared these insurgents or thought it prudent or necessary to guard against them. It is also true that some officers worked hard to keep the Capitol secure as the horde surged in. One officer died in the line of duty. For this, America should certainly be grateful. Yet, I hold fast to the position that had authorities taken the threat seriously from the beginning, the 60 police injured in the invasion might not have needed to sacrifice themselves for safety. One cop, apparently a Metropolitan police officer who arrived to help reinforce a pitiful outnumbered Capitol Police force, was seen in horrendous virtual video pinned in a doorway and screaming for help as the rioters in the doorway crushed him. His overwhelmingly white assailants, any of them, or none of them, are in custody now. Many truths will become apparent in the coming days. What we know for sure is that European, Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege, white supremacy is protected and respected in America, even when it is in full betrayal of the laws in the land. The inability and unwillingness of authorities to stop those who breach Capitol Hill security remains black and brown people not to forget their place in this land. That reminds them not to forget their place. You can't do what white folks do, my father used to tell me. On Wednesdays, his warnings became abundantly clear. Professor Black at Clark Atlanta College. Yeah. You can't do what white folks do. You're listening to African Perspectives. You want to take a call? There are many are on right now. If you want to hit star twice and join the conversation before we go to a break, before I get off into the African World newsletter, please do that. You hit star twice and I'll let you in. We'll have a little dialogue before we get off into 646. 646, good morning, I should say. Let me try that again.
The best thing in the world is to watch a Neanderthal follow a double Neanderthal into the abyss of bullshit. And that's exactly what you saw what happened at the Hunky's house. Because the reality is, if he really was about those protesters, he would pardon all them bastards. That's real gangsterism at play. Because most of the charges against these people are federal charges. So he could basically say, I pardon all individuals who are involved in the insurrection at the Capitol. But he ain't about that. So now it is you have these dumbass white folks in the little bit of sprinkling of sick Negroes that are now going to lose their jobs and everything and in return get nothing for their so-called insurrection and protest. It's just the heightened, blatant stupidity of you Ruggles and who and what them Neanderthals are. It's damn near laughable. Because here it is, I'll give you a prime example. You have a TA worker, a transit worker, who makes close to $75,000 a year with benefits, that now is going to lose his job because he's basically following after a dumbass. You'll never be able to replace that job. He now done jeopardized himself and his family for what? For what? I want to know for what?
Well, I ain't going to answer. You know the answer. You know for what? For foolishness. Because you believe a con man. Because you believe a con man. You believe a pathological liar. You believe somebody, man, who's from Jump Street. And what's ironic is that, listen, all of these cats said this at the very beginning. All they said that, you know, Marco Rubio, what's his name from South Carolina? All of them. They said Trump is no good. Yeah, Lindsey Graham. All of them. They talked about Trump like a dog, how unqualified he is to be president. But once he became president, now he's the man. They cowed to him. They did his bidding. All of them. You know, Cruz talked about his ugly wife, talked about his daddy, talked about him like a dog, and then all of them did his bidding for the last 4 years. And some of them still are doing it. To me, every one of those Republicans, when the impeachment comes up today, every one of those Republicans in the House and in the Senate, everybody should be down for it. It is a clear example, because yesterday, there is no contrition in this man. None. He said, he didn't say, you know, no, he holds no responsibility. He's not contrite, not one damn bit. And so everybody should impeach his ass. And by impeaching his ass, he gets nothing. He gets none of that money, that $250,000 for the rest of his life. He gets that $1 million a year for the travel and this and that and the other. No library. You know, somebody just mentioned that Donald Trump shouldn't have anything named after him as a president of the United States. No.
Well, I don't, you know, they're going to impeach him in the Congress, but I don't see them impeaching him in the Senate. And the thing that had me laughing is how McConnell turned on him. But the reality is, if the truth be told, and as someone who has an understanding of history, all McConnell ever did was play him to get what he wanted. That's all McConnell ever did. He played him like a fiddle. He made him think that he was doing something, but in essence, what he was doing was really giving McConnell what he wanted to give to his people, tax cuts and judges, to keep white supremacy in place, even if the minority becomes the majority. So, I mean, it's sad, man. I just feel how sad it is to see people get conned by a cracker like Trump, man, and to jeopardize their family on the level in which they do, and to lose so much for what? And then become, I hope, delusion with the whole situation, and go out there and start doing some South African burning neckties towards those bastards. Because, you know, I mean, that's how I feel about it. It's tragic, B. It's like, how are you that effing dumb to think that you're going to go and do what you did in this country and get away with it? And all they did was play the long game on you. They let you come in. They let you act an ass. And then they let you leave, and now they round your ass up.
Well,
and now they just going to wreak havoc on
well,
the
are some...
But let me just say this one thing, Oshie. This is the real one that gets me is the Neanderthal knuckle dragger that talk about he got to only eat organic food. And he's under the impression that because they told him they're going to give him organic food, that he gonna be eating organic food. He don't even know. He don't even know.
His mama said that if he doesn't, he'll be violently ill. His mama visited him and she told him, yeah, well. But let me just say this. You know, there are some of them who were in that situation who are not identified. There were some of them who may even had a mask on who could not be identified. And of course, there are some of them who boldly and brashly showed themselves, said things, walked through the halls. They haven't identified the Caucasian with the Confederate treasonous flag. They haven't identified him. I believe maybe they have. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is this. If this doesn't, I mean, there's so many examples to show us. And they tell us and consistently of who they are. Just as Maya Angelou says, when somebody says who they are the first time, believe them. And they have shown us for centuries of who they are. But yet we, as African people, believe that this country is just as much ours as it is theirs. And their privilege, it should be afforded to whoever whoever holds allegiance to it. And believe me, we hold allegiance to it, unfortunately.
Hey, Oshie, let me tell you. You may think that they haven't identified them yet. Don't fall for that BS. They gonna be identified with the quickness when the time and
okay, where okay, Jay, where they at? How many people have now been identified and arrested? About 60, 70? How many people were involved in that situation? How many people did we see storm the Capitol building, scale the wall, broken in windows?
It's a prolonged, protracted space that's being occupied by the FBI and the other agency. Don't fool yourself and think that they're not going to get who they got to get. Come on, man. You know better. If this white man want to get your ass, he gets your ass. You can't name me very few that they haven't been able to get when the time is right.
Well, the other thing, you're right, though, Jay. You're right. They'll get who they want to get, and so we'll see what happens down the line. They'll get who they want to get. You're right.
I mean, the bottom line is this. And this is real talk. You can't have the type of actions and behaviors that those Neanderthals showed in that arena and not think that somebody isn't gonna pay the piper. Let's be clear on that.
Okay.
There's gonna be a lot of people that's gonna pay the piper, and unfortunately, the people that's gonna pay the piper is the dumbasses who went along with what was done to them by Fredo Trump. So now they're gonna suffer, and the thing that gets me is, and annoys me the most is, that their family is gonna suffer for the BS. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying. And to me, the main person to suffer should be the perpetrator, should be the instigator, should be the one that told this group.
That.
Well, let's see. We'll see.
When you got a $75,000 job with the type of benefits that this guy has and you have a family, how your family not suffering, bro?
Oh, no. Jay, you know I know they're suffering.
And you lazy.
Yes, I know this. But let me just say this too. It's just like when Rittenhour, the Caucasian kid from Illinois who went into Kenosha, Wisconsin, and killed two and injured one, you know, because he wanted to under the skies of saving property, okay, and suppressing a riot, you know, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, they raised over $1 million for that. For that young man. They raised over $1 million. He's out. He made bail. He pleaded innocent when the district attorney in the city of Kenosha said there was no charges going to be leveled against the officer who shot Brother Blake 7 times in the back. And yet, we'll see what happens to him. Listen, I'm going to go to a break. I'm going to go to a break. Jay, you stay with us. And after the break, we're going to talk about the African World newsletter. All right. Appreciate it, Jay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hotep, Hotep. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to get right off into the newsletter, the African World newsletter produced every year for the last 4 years, I believe, for the Abakasan Sumsum, which is African spiritual warfare. I think the first year that they produced the newsletter was the year that they paid respect to the convention in 1920, when over 25,000 of our people descended upon New York City at Old Madison Square Garden. And it's phenomenal that we can assemble that many people at that time. But the only thing that really made that happen was the Negro World, which is now called the African World, that newspaper. Because even though we did have telephones, not like that. We didn't have a phone, not in our community. They were more communal. And of course, there were party lines. No Twitter, no MySpace, Yo Face, Facebook, whatever, social media, none of that. And they were able to amass. Hell, we can't even get what we got in 72, which was 2,000 people in Gary, Indiana. See, because, you know, we have bought into this madness. We have bought into America. We believe that we Americans. Yeah. Abakasan Sumsum, African spiritual warfare. I'm going to talk about what it is. One of the pieces from the newsletter, and like I said, I have them all, you know, is to catch the spirit of African sovereignty. Main thing is, just as this program, that's why this program mirrors what this is all about, is this program's the same thing: independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There is no other way. It's Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Remember that when Barack, I think that's when it happened, when P. Diddy or Puff Daddy, whatever the hell, he said, but brought the T-shirt, vote or die. Vote or die. No, unify or die. Because that's real. Because if we don't, we will. Dr. Clark said, Africa is our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother and father, our beating heart, no matter where we live on the face of this earth. Nana, John Henry Clark. Mama Marimba put this together
the Arrow newspaper, which I read from, published it. The brothers and sisters from San Antonio at the Arrow, the great ancestor, Baba or Babu Phil Johnson, just a beautiful assemblage of brothers and sisters. Now, instead of the newspaper being monthly, it is quarterly. So I truly do await the next edition. Always find good articles and, you know, stuff in it. So, but this newspaper, which is all 20 pages, with chock full of good, beautiful information of return and ancestors, and of course, giving some honor to the brothers and sisters that have gone on, that have made their transition, Dr. Mama Okosa, and I saw her in Philadelphia. She's from Philadelphia, Mama Okosa, at the Locks Conference. And of course, I met her here. She's been here for Abacus and Tsum Tsum, a good friend of Marimba Aniz. And she made her transition last year in April. You know, of course, my good brother, Dr. Conrad Worrell, man, he made his transition back in June of this year. Sister Patricia, Dr. Patricia Newton, was in D.C. at the conference in D.C. She was one of the presenters. Beautiful sister, psychologist Dr. Patricia Newton. I'm quite sure her African name is up here. I can't see it. But anyway, yeah, the work that she's done. And there's a good picture of Conrad and Molly Davis. And Molly Davis is one of our great attorneys here in the Atlanta area, the Davis-Bozeman Law Firm. And Molly just does great work in our community. Just a good brother, good family man, just a good model. And Molly's father and Conrad were athletes together back in California. You know, Conrad was from the Pasadena area, you know. It's great history, man. I love Conrad Worrell. Sit down and talk with him. In fact, Kofi Taharka, which will probably be one of my guests, I hope very soon, from the National Black United Front. He always imitates Conrad. He'd be cracking me up. Yeah, Kofi Taharka gave me a call, and we talked for a minute. So, but I was surprised to see Dr. Asa Hilliard's daughter had passed. Didn't know that. Patricia Hilliard Nunn, that she had passed. You know, she's a young sister, you know, born in 63. Well, she's young, but, you know, and then she died in August. She died in August, August 5th. Yep, Dr. Asa and Patsy Jo Hilliard. And so, you know, and then Brother Sid Wilson, Baba Sid. I didn't really know him. But, yeah, and others. And, of course, they got some quotes here by Nana Clark, you know, and tribute to Baba Mutulu Shakur, who was a prisoner. Tulu Shakur, and got an article here on our beautiful family, Brother Ankh, and our great family of Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. And then a good article on the wall in Pram Pram in East of Accra, the ancestral wall and library, and showing the work that Brother Jerry Johnson is doing. Me and my good friend Jim Winbush, we stayed there. We went to Ghana going on 2 years ago. I was 18. And just a nice facility. And they show the ancestral wall, how long it is, and showing the kids, the young people who are there, and, you know, giving the tour of the wall and the library that will be built. And so... So we'll get off into some of the reading here in the African world, in the Bacchus and Tsum Tsum. Let me read this about Marcus Garvey from the words from his second wife, Amy Jacques Garvey, on the a note on the evolution of Garveyism, a book that came out in 1972. Amy Jacques Garvey. Garveyism is not just a theoretical philosophy, but a working idealism geared to the crying need of an entire culture, many millions of whom were despised and dispersed by captivity to the United States, the West Indies, Europe, Canada, and as far as South America. The captors and their kind used the most inhumane means to break the spirit of the Africans, thus reducing them to a state of frustration and dejection, handy tools used to produce wealth for Caucasian people. The Africans at home were exploited, oppressed, and brutalized by the colonial powers through their administrators, traders, and mercenaries, adventurers to produce the mineral and agricultural wealth of their continent, which was transported to Europe to build up their nations. In time, chattel captivity was abolished, but those dejected and rejected people of the earth never had a unifying force. In fact, they were propagandized into believing that they had no common cause. The American Africans from their sidewalk jungles called the Africans at home heathens and uncivilized cannibals. And the West Indian Africans were called monkey chasers, living in trees. The Africans called all Western world Africans ex-captives, a term of contempt, ex-slaves. You know, that's why I push a lot hard about us using that word slave. And you hear me do that in the libation piece. Because nobody has pushed that word and really created that word but Europeans, slave. Other human beings have been in servitude to others, but because of how the European have crafted and used that word, the deep meaning and the connotations of it are just so deeply profound that's why I'm adamant about us not using that word. We were not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We have never submitted, and we will never submit to these beasts. We were not. We were captives. The African, in time, chattel captivity was abolished, but those dejected and rejected people of the earth never had a unifying force. In fact, they were propagandized into believing that they had no common cause. The American Africans from their sidewalk jungles called the Africans at home heathens and uncivilized cannibals. And the West Indian Africans were called monkey chasers living in trees. The Africans called Western world Africans ex-slaves, a term of contempt. Each unit was taught to stigmatize the other. The divide and rule methods brought havoc in all their simple, undesigning minds. Then came the awakening of Marcus Garvey. Up, you mighty people. We have to carve out our rightful heritage on this earth. The philosophies of Europe, England, and white and Caucasian America are the products of many sophisticated cultures, industrial and agricultural mechanisms, canonized economies, political discipline, people's revering Caucasian power. Few of them were activists, much less reformers. And invariably, they preferred to do the revolutionary writing. Their philosophies cannot be wholly applicable to Garveyism because he based his findings and movement on the historical and current African experience all over the globe. He plunged the depths of our oppression and degradation and bare them to the world. He gave to his people a new set of values in a world where culture is the criterion of human standards and the Caucasian culture considered themselves superior. He gave African people new dimensions, new horizons that transcended national boundaries, languages, and religions. He lifted their spirits to the heights of true manhood and true womanhood. Garveyism has many facets because African nationalism politically becomes African nationalism in the West Indies and is a prestige affiliation to the African minority in America, where it generates African power, which is the united action of an oppressed and despised, desperate minority to confront Caucasian power in a country of their birth. Garvey sought to revive the spirit of African people from despair to hope, from the lethargy to a positive action, from fear to courage, from inertia to assertiveness, from anti-discrimination dodges to mainly confrontation. He gave them goals possible to men and women because he believed with all his heart in the innate abilities of African people. Be prepared, he shouted, and the masses followed him, and he had the awakening in him, the real purpose of life, to live as a man or to die as a man. The philosophies and opinions of Marcus Garvey. Some great pictures, of course. I know many of you have seen them, of what Marcus Garvey had been able to do, and the convention that they held in New York, were literally thousands of us. And I thought I'd turn that damn thing off. Sorry about that again. That's off now, that's for sure. My bad. Yeah. If anyone you want to join this conversation once again, our number is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Those who are on the board already, you hit star twice, and you can get in on the conversation. One of the things talk about the science fair and other stuff that the Baba Baruti had sent me, Mamiya had sent me, and I'm looking at in the newsletter, the African Heritage After School Program, AHAP, you know, what they think it speaks in is, and they talk about their road to African sovereignty, are the things that that we must do, and they list eight things that we must do. And it's definitely worth a good read here. So, but you know, these are the young people, the Watoto, the young people who understand and who have been educated and informed and trained to coming up as a young person to understand the importance of African sovereignty, the importance of African people coming together and doing for self, you know, not going to school so I can get a job so some Caucasian can hire me. Not going to school so I can get a job and go live in a gated subdivision or whatever, or live where near Caucasians. Not to be the first one that this place or this town or this school, no. To get the knowledge of self and to share it with others, and others come together. Because if we don't unify, exactly. And here's the article's written by Brother Akinyemi Gillum. As African people, we are dominated, dependent, unorganized, and powerless. This is because Urugu has control over us, but we don't know it. We, of course, want to be free and sovereign people. However, if we truly want that, there are steps that need to be taken in order for us to be sovereign people. This article will discuss where we are as African people and what is happening to us. Next, it will talk about what we need to be and where our goals should be heading. Then it will talk about how to get to those goals so we can be what we want and need to be. Many things are happening to African people today, bad things. For example, women and children in Madagascar are inside mining for mineral. It's called mica. It is a forced child labor, and the profits go to Chinese and global corporations. Another thing that's happening is the IMF, the World Bank, and International Monetary Fund, and Chinese loans to gain control of African resources and infrastructure. One very critical thing that's happening to African people is that the children are being taught dependency, and that Caucasian people control them, and that they are better. African children are being taught to depend on Yorugu for food, shelter, medicine, and jobs. As African people, we need to know that those horrible things are happening to us, and we need to do something about it. We need to be free and sovereign. This means our goal should go toward being free and achieving sovereignty. One child, knowing this, has come up with a map to get to the African sovereignty. He calls it the Road to African Sovereignty. The Road to African Sovereignty is a map that explains the things we need to do to achieve African sovereignty. The road has 8 steps, and each is a step on how to achieve African sovereignty. Here are the steps. 1, where are we now? We are dominated, dependent, unorganized, and powerless. We are right here now. As African people, we are dominated by Yorugu. We depend on them to give us land and resources. We have been unorganized as a people ever since the diaspora, and we are indeed powerless. However, you might hear people say, I have my own land, so I have power, or I have this business, or I have my property, so I have power. Sadly, what we don't realize is that it really belongs to the bank if you're getting a house, another person, or a company. So we're actually paying others to use their property, which makes them have the power. Where we are right here now as African people, we are dominated by Yorugu. We depend on them to give us land and resources. We have been unorganized as a people ever since we've been here in the diaspora, and we are indeed powerless. However, you might hear some people say, I have my own land, so I have power. Or I have this business, and I have my property, so I have power. Sadly, we don't realize is that it really belongs to the bank or the persons. So we are actually paying others to use their property to make them so they get richer. 2, identity, African consciousness and African spirituality. In order for us to get African sovereignty, we must first need to be able to identify ourselves as African people. And this is very important. We have the ability, we have to identify ourselves as Africans and not Negroes or people of color or blacks. Let me say that again. We have to identify ourselves as Africans, not Negroes or people of color or blacks. I know, Brother Oshi. We're just using black and African interchangeably. We have to make a distinction. There has to come a time, dear brothers and sisters, as Dr. Clark said, include or exclude. Either you in with us as Africans or your ass is out as a Negro or as a black. We also need to have an African spiritual system. This means that we need to see everything having spirit and not to be material and not to be materialistic. 3, African national organization, including African ecological sovereignty. The next step is to start an African nation organization. This is when we start to find a way to organize African people into one nation. As a nation, we will have to do things that are necessary for us and be able to have order. This will be the start of our African people joining together to accomplish something that we cannot do as individuals. Brothers and sisters will have roles in the nation to help it stay stable. We will be able to get the things that were stolen from us back and create environments and friendly, environmental friendly materials. 4, African sovereignty plan. Next, we need to make a plan to achieve African sovereignty. As a nation, we need to come up with a plan to achieve African sovereignty. This will include being able to produce our own food and nutrients. This will also include us being able to take care of our natural resources and being able to protect them. It will include our system of government and economics. This plan will need to be very well thought out and planned thoroughly to make sure that it is successful. Number five, World African Government. The next step is to have a World African Government. I got this idea from Marcus Garvey, and it will be a long process. This is a system that has many roles. Those roles include proper protection of African people and our resources, appropriate educational systems, and more. It should be able to have our people thrive on our own resources. You know, that's really important. It should also be able to have our educational systems teach our youth self-determination, collective work and responsibility, and cooperative economics, those Kwanzaa principles that are so vitally important to be instilled into our everyday lives. African military organization. Next is to have an African military organization. This means that we will form a group or groups of people who are capable of defending the land, the people, and our resources. This may also include people whose role is to make sure that the atmosphere is balanced and the environment is healthy. In our African nation, we will need people who can protect our people and our stuff. Without it, invaders will take our stuff again and destroy our people. That Yoruba currently benefits from making our own foods, clean water and supplies, all those things that are necessary for us to be a nation. Number seven, African nation management. The next step is African nation management. I got this idea from Nana Clark. This is when African people as a nation have goals, and this is the process of achieving them. We will have many groups of people to achieve different goals. Our mission is to have African sovereignty, and to accomplish that mission, we will need to manage the nation to a point that we will be able to compete and complete the steps that lead to the achievement of African sovereignty. For example, African ecological sovereignty is a part of achieving African sovereignty. To get African ecological sovereignty, we need to organize the people of the nation into a number of different groups. Some of these groups will include reforestation, producing solar energy, reclaiming our mines, our MIND and our MINE. That's right, the African mind. Reclaiming our minds that Yoruba currently benefits from, making our own food, cleaning up clean water, and so forth. And the last, African world sovereignty, it means sovereignty, independence, organized, and powerful. Once we complete all of these steps, we will have African world sovereignty. This will not be an easy process. However, it will be completed if we follow these steps. Once we achieve world African sovereignty, we will have power. We will be organized as an independent nation, and we will be a sovereign people. This is the road to African sovereignty. Good job, young man. Good job. Power. Power. You know, I often say about the word power, we talk about African power. You know, power is the ability to define reality. Power is not money. Power is not education and information. Power is not voting. Power is not power ain't none of that. Power is the ability to define reality. I think the best quote on power is Dr. Wade Nobles. Dr. Wade Nobles. When I first heard it some 20 some years ago, I said, "Man, that's profound." Power is not none of that. Power is the ability to define reality. And then he furthers the definition, and he says, and have others accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans imposed their culture on us. We have accepted it as if it's their, as if it's our own. That's power. Europeans imposed that on us, and we have accepted what they have imposed on us as if it's our own. And it has made us reject who we are, where we're from, what our modalities are, what our culture is, made it reject power. So when we talk about empowering, we must empower the people. If you ain't talking about doing something independent of those who are so-called in power, then you just need to step back. I was going to say shut up. Because the real deal is power is the ability to define reality. And for us, we must shape reality in our image and in our interests. We must come together as Africans globally. That's why the Pan-African Federalist Movement, other Pan-African movements, all those things that speak of that, we need to come together as one. Back in October, when we had, there were so many things happening that it was ridiculous. There has to come a time that this is the movement right here, y'all. And let's all of it jump on this lockstep and move in this direction. And then there's other areas that we need brothers and sisters to deal with in terms of security, in terms of ecology and this, that. Let that happen. But the main thing is that. And we all agree to that. And we all move in that direction. And once again, either you're going to be on it or you ain't. Either going to be in or you out. That's it. Now let's move. We got the folks that are in. Let's move. Those are out. We know who they are. We know what they're about. We don't want to hear a damn thing from them. They have sided with Urugu. They have sided with the Caucasian. We are plotting a course, and we getting the Chinese, the Europeans, the Koreans, the Indians, off of African land. And we are going to control the land and the resources. Africans now will be players in the world instead of pawns. That's what this is all about. That's what this program is all about. That's what I keep talking about every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you want to hear that, come here from 11:30 to 1. You don't want to hear that? Then don't. You want others to hear it? Tell them. Because as far as I'm concerned, there is no other. They got a nice article here on Edward Wilmot Blyden. It's a pretty long one. I'm not going to read that. It was a good one, though. But the paper is outstanding. And so this is what I'm trying to get some of this good stuff in before my time is up. And I don't just go off on another diatribe. And of course, you can join the conversation. Hit star twice if you're on, or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Understanding Abaka Tsum Tsum. Understanding what Abaka Tsum 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 is by Marimba Ani. Soul Dayi. Soul Dayi. Abaka Tsum 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 is a process of development in African sovereignty consciousness and a commitment to African sovereignty, inspired by the African genius of Nana Dr. John Henry Clark and her special relationship with him as an ideological father. He has given me so much and continues to guide my growth as an African sovereigntist. It is critical, therefore, that I give back to him. Because of that obligation and responsibility, I helped to establish a shrine for him in 1998 in Kumasi, in Ghana. Hold on, Jay. I'm going to get to you in a second. A shrine to Dr. Clark in Ghana, in Kumasi, where I was at the time of his passing on July 16th. In 2001, we commissioned an African artist born in Nigeria who was a resident at Morris Brown College, which, of course, lost their accreditation in Atlanta, and created a bust. He created a bust of Dr. John Henry Clark for the shrine. The very first Abakasan Sum Sum was organized by Sister Madiwa and Baba Wakesa Mesamoyo and his wife, Mama Afia Mesamoyo, and myself to provide an opportunity for the African community to experience the unveiling of the bus before it was taken by me to the shrine in Kumasi. The name Abakasan Sum Sum, the spirit of history, was determined in consultation with Obadeli Kamban, who is a fluent teacher of the Twa language. And that's the Kamban family, which is a beautiful family, brothers and sisters. And of course, Brother Kamal Kamban's wife is on the African therapy on Mondays, Black Therapy Central, on Mondays at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. And his daughter, Nataki Kamban, and his son is teaching in Ghana. In fact, I will be promoting the website, not the website, it's just like, it's another mode that we can use, Bibi Atumi. And brothers and sisters, I can't wait to get more involved, and it'll be part of what I'll be promoting, Bibi Atumi. And of course, you too should be a part of Bibi Atumi. The name Abakasan Sum Sum means the spirit of history was determined in consultation with Obadeli Kamban, who is a fluent teacher in the Twa language. The ceremony was held for two consecutive days, May 15th and May 16th in 2004. Abakasan Sum Sum has subsequently taken on an energy of its own, compelling us and directing us to commune with each other and our ancestors in a forceful ways in the service of African power. It is this way of the spirit of Nana John Henry Clark continues to teach us. Abakasan Sum Sum has become the place in which we connect with the energy of those ancestors who have fought for us and move us toward victory, those ancestors who live for generations after them. Abakasan Sum Sum is where we learn about the developed African spiritual warfare. It is where we first learn to focus on African sovereignty and then expand our goal to world African sovereignty. Abakasan Sum Sum is always where we feel the power of our connectedness as we form a circle, our biogenic rope. Abakasan Sum Sum, we use the Kantu modality of ritual drama. Believe me, they'd be having some beautiful, rituals, beautiful reenactments. Baba Kwaku out of Augusta, Georgia. He channels Dr. Clark so beautifully. All of it is just great. It really is. It really is. Ritual drama to teach, remember, to experience and to learn from our story. Through the process of Abakasan Sum Sum in ritual drama, we discover the reality of sacred time, where we can connect with our warrior ancestors and therefore be energized by their courage and commitment to African power. It also allows us to envision them connecting with each other, since they are no longer separated by past, present, and future dimensions. Spiritual drama takes us to a special place, and Abakasan Sum Sum allows that to happen. When we feel the rhythm of our Africanness, we can become our ancestors. At Abakasan Sum Sum, there is no passive audience, only the African community. Those of us who prepare the ritual drama work hard, and believe me, they do. They work hard. We study, we meditate, we commune with each ancestor and each other. Together, we grow in African sovereign consciousness. We do this work so that we can be transformed and catch the spirit of African victory. In this way, we honor Nana, Dr. John Henry Clark, Abakasan Sum Sum. We only have a few minutes. If you want to join this conversation, please, once again. Yes, Sean from Oberlin, Ohio. Sean, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Sean, Oberlin, Ohio. Good afternoon.
Okay. Get off. So bring you back off. If you've been to Bacchus and Tsum Tsum, and you have something to say about it, Brother Sean, are you there? Brother Sean, are you there? Okay. If you've been to Bacchus and Tsum Tsum and want to talk about that, I think also too. 646, you had a question?
Yeah, basically my question, Brother Oshi, was it was good to hear you say that 11:30 till 1. You know, I have to say that was good to hear you say that instead of 1 to 11 to 1. You definitely got the timing right.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, when it depends upon who my guest may be, I may definitely go from 11 to 1.
You know, I'm just joking.
I know you are. I know you are, dear brother.
Oh, you know what I mean? You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel there are things that I'll always, you know, even though the argument could be, oh, yes, that's so repetitive, it's so redundant, but the thing I like to say it is positive reinforcement. I'm constantly talking about some things that I feel need to be brought into our attention, and so, therefore, you know, I feel that that's a good way to do it, consistently remind each other, remind ourselves of the things that we should involve ourselves in, the things we should connect with. You know, that's why I'm talking today about the African World Newsletter and a box of Tsum Tsum, which is African spiritual warfare, and how, I mean, just beautiful it is to deal with it, you know. So,
hey, you know, the beautiful thing is anytime you're talking about something African, it's a beautiful thing, man. Yeah. What could be better than... Yeah. Than being African, man. Is there anything in the world?
No, not as far as African? Not as far as I'm concerned. Concerned.
I can't think of nothing better than being African, man. I mean it's the essence of one's being. I mean, you know, the unfortunate thing is that our people really don't understand culture. So when you understand culture, then you understand all things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, our people don't understand culture.
Well, that's the main thing.
They don't do what they have to do to be able to understand it. And the essence of culture is everything.
Yeah.
Once you understand the essence of culture, it pertains to every aspect.
Right, of your lives. Because it's all that you do. Culture is all that you do. See, and so the European imposed his culture. There's no such thing as a race. Europeans created race back in the 1600s. Johann Blumenbach and Carol Linnaeus. They created that.
Right.
You can pinpoint that because they put information out there. They did these studies. They did these stratifications. They measured skulls and all this old bull. They created it. Giving themselves a top position and everybody else a lower position with us. The first people on this damn planet with us at the lowest position. And everybody believes that because of the spreading of European culture, everybody on the planet believes that.
Right? What's wrong with you, brother?
Well, you know. You
said you're right.
But you know I am. Sometimes I just get overwhelmed.
Talking about the cracker. No good filthy stinking ball of syphilitic pus. The cracker.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing in the way worse than the white man, bro.
He's a mean dog. He's an evil. The Urugu is an evil, mean dog. That's what I'm saying for us. You know, that it doesn't matter. America, anywhere outside of the continent that we can control. Is not going to be good. Whether we in Brazil, everywhere we are outside of, even on the continent, it is not good for us until we regain our rightful position and take back our land and take back our resources and take back our minds.
Only then will we be able to deal righteously. Only then, you know, and so, you know,
the white man need to be kicked out of every place that he is, other than the cage from which he came from. There is no place in this world where the white man has gone, where other people have been living in harmony, that he has not caused total destruction and chaos. There's not one place in the world.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
You can name one place in the world where anybody of color has been living in harmony amongst themselves, and they let this dog in their mix, and it wasn't absolute chaos as time moved forward. No place in the world.
No, I agree.
It's nowhere the white man can go.
Yeah.
That effing no good bastard.
Well, you know, look what he's done. I mean, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone to various other places and claimed them as his own, renamed them.
Yes.
You know, all of that.
Yes.
Because his mindset is that he is superior, you know.
Break the women at will.
Yeah.
Done everything humanly that is not within the laws of nature. This white man has done to the world.
Yeah.
He's the most diabolical, destructive force on the effing planet.
I agree.
And he needs to be eliminated from the planet if the planet is going to survive.
Well,
I mean, think about who the leader, the so-called leader of the free world is. A raving pig. If you look at Donald Trump from the side, don't he look like an oink,
Let me.
The man is the personification of Satan, Lucifer. Yeah,
I swear, I agree, Jay. Let me take this call.
Go ahead, brother.
All right, Jay. Thank you, brother. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Hey,
my
afternoon.
Sister. Good afternoon.
Okay?
Can hear you well. Go ahead.
Okay, you know, I did attend a Bakasun Sum this past 2 months ago, I guess it was.
Right, November. Yes, it was in November. Yeah, in fact, right. I did see a picture of you there at a Bakasun Sum Sum. I did. And how was it?
Yeah. I thought it was powerful. It was very powerful.
As always. Yeah.
Who acted out the different ancestors was very, very strong, very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that more of us should experience that, as well as Kabuka that Brother Baruti does.
Yes, yes.
I really be a part of our education commission with the Pan-African Fellows Movement, that
good.
People need to go through that process.
Yeah.
So they can have the same understanding, particularly those continental Africans who really don't get it in terms of what we have experienced.
Yeah.
And by going through those two different events,
yeah,
would I think change some minds and some attitudes. Especially dealing with the spirituality of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people want to stay away from, they say religion, but we're talking about spirit.
That's right.
The ancestors.
That's right.
Spirit of our ancestors.
Right.
That we
and Emma, tell you, I'm going to tell you about Mandabantu. It bothers me. I heard it again just recently. We are not our ancestors. Next time I hear that again, if I'm in prison, I might smack that. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But I would make a challenge, because I want to make sure we understand we are our ancestors. I know that many of them say that. Let me say this. Many of them say that in the context that they believe that our ancestors were weak and that we capitulated to Caucasians. And so therefore, I ain't my ancestors. I'll kick your ass. You know? No.
You know, brother, they don't know their history.
Right.
They don't know their
miseducation.
And I think that some of that falls on us for not doing more in terms of complaining about the educational system that our children are predominantly in, this public school system. They do not tell the truth. They lie about the history of our people. And that's why, I chose to get out of that system and develop my own independent African school because I definitely wanted my children and children around them to know the truth. And that's what we're trying to do, teach them the truth.
That's what we so must do.
That you wouldn't even make a T-shirt that says that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
That just, you know, that's just misguided ignorance is what it is.
Yeah. And ignorance is simply absence of knowledge, you know.
That's true.
And it's just absence of knowledge. And if that person does not understand that, yes, we are our ancestors, and to wear a T-shirt, I've seen the T-shirt, and I, you know, to wear a T-shirt like that and help them understand that, yes, brother or sister, we are our ancestors. In fact, it is through our ancestors that we will get our ass out of this madness, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah. So, you know, Bakasan Sum Sum is a beautiful spiritual, and just like I said, Kabuka too, with the understanding of what happened through us in the Maafa, in the Infakani, or the Holocaust of our captivity, marched from interior to the coast and put in dungeons and put on those ships and packed the way we are. I mean, the experience that we have gone through to be where we are today, you know, it's tremendous. I have another caller on System Bounty. You hold on. 334-334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well, brother Lust. Thank
Real
you,
quickly,
man.
This is what I mean when I say we really need to learn how to fight. And that window of opportunity is closing. We need to be able to learn those techniques, those skills, those abilities in order for us to be empowered. So I'll leave the rest for the sister to speak her position.
No, Brother Lusk, I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening and contributing. And you're right. That's why, to me, everything must begin to happen. Obviously, at the base, we must educate our young people. They must know who and what we are and what has happened to us. They must get infused with that knowledge. And so then as they get up in grades, even in high school, all the way, so then now they're armed. They know who they are. The educational process that they're going into, whether it's a high school or college, university, trade school, technical school, they know who they are. And they can deal from a position of strength because they have knowledge of self. And even though they might be in a class where the professor or the teacher is saying something else, they ain't got to challenge them because they know where they're coming from and they know who they are and where we are going. You see, that's why it's vitally important that we have an educational process that we control, particularly at the young age. And that's what needs to happen. If hell, if I won that damn, you know, it's a $3/4 billion now. If I won that money, that's what I do. I put all that damn money into an educational process for African people around this country and in the diaspora and on the continent. We must all learn together. We must bring this whole situation together and begin to move quickly. We don't have time, Brother Lusk. Time is not on our side. And when you look at it and you analyze it objectively and realistically, it doesn't look good.
Yes, sir.
You know, it really doesn't. It doesn't look good. And so we, you know, and I know there's some beautiful oases. There's some beautiful situations, particularly in this country, where there are some good being done. But, you know, it's not the mass. It's a few places here and there. And yes, they deserve to be highlighted and supported. But we need it more so in mass, you see. And so that's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. I thank you for calling, Brother Lusk. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. And Sister Nana, all of you who called it, that's my time is up. So I appreciate all those who listen and call every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And please continue to do so and tell others. I appreciate that. But I'm going to be here doing what I got to do. You know, I'm trying to put something on the minds of our people. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, let us come together to control our land, our resources, our lives. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie! Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday. Dr. King's birthday.